Warning, the following conversations are probably not going to be good for younger listeners. Trigger warnings for some true crime stories involving SA and murder. As always, Andy can be a knobhead, so if you're easily offended, go find something else.
I'm just gonna press record. Oh, dear. Right.
Oh, fucking nice.
I'm just gonna fucking press record.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm doing, basically, isn't it? So, hiya.
Hiya.
Hello?
Hiya. You all right?
Yeah. Just tired.
Tired.
We're all so deflated, aren't we?
Why? Why are we deflated?
Because we're bringing out the,
it's Halloween.
The Halloween vibes, aren't we? By it's being really like morbid.
I'm enjoying
morbid
it.
And there's depressed, isn't there? Like, people are going to be listening to this go, fuck this episode. No.
Switching this off.
Yeah.
I enjoy Halloween. Halloween is one of my favourite times.
I love Halloween.
Weren't you conceived in Halloween?
No, I wasn't. Actually,
your mum and dad definitely banged it.
Hang on a minute.
Actually, you know what? You might have been, Emily.
July.
Yeah. Right?
July? Work backwards with me.
Yeah, July is the 7th.
Oh, June.
Yeah.
Was she?
Yeah, you were.
July, June. Oh, this is hard to go backwards. May, April, March, February, January.
Daddy played with pumpkins. Daddy played with pumpkins.
Oh my God, yeah.
Pregnancy's 10 months, not 9 months. Oh so my God. You were conceived in October.
There you go.
Oh my God. For me to have been born on the 23rd of July, I might have actually been conceived on Halloween. That would explain a lot about me, wouldn't it?
You know what you should go home and do? You should go ask your mum and dad, did they happen to go to a Halloween party in 1996?
Oh.
And then we'll know.
1995.
Did your dad wander into a random street, knock on a random door and say, have you got any sweets for me? She felt bad, didn't have sweets, but then perceived to give a goff.
Should offer you something else, though.
I mean, what a Halloween treat that would be.
It's explained so much.
Wow. But that would explain a lot, that.
So we've established that the goth was conceived on Halloween.
All right.
I mean, that's a whole new origin story for me, isn't
it? It really is.
No wonder I hate summer and I love autumn.
I was definitely conceived on a roller coaster.
On a roller coaster? How do you like that? 100%,
because I am. My head's all over the place. Fucked, isn't it? To be honest.
There's that.
I am very special. I mean, I've spent the day just winding the wife up. I've seen her for like, what, 3 hours and just thought, I'm going to press the buttons and press the buttons till she's kicked off. And then went, right, I'm going to go and record a pod.
Oh, God.
So I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to go back to. I just don't know why I do it.
I don't know why you do it either. Did you do? Did you move a jigsaw again?
No. I've decided, I don't know why, I've come back from Oxford, right? And I've decided just to start speaking like Forrest Gump. I don't know why.
That's really weird. That's so random.
Yeah, well, we took the dog to like a player park because we've adopted a dog, didn't we? We drove to Belgium to get an adopted dog.
New doggy.
Yeah. So he needs obviously a bit of work on his recall. So we got one of those gated fence things. And for some strange reason, I've just been all morning just going, the dog is running. to the point she's kicked off. And get out, Forrest. I've even started calling her Jenny. For the record, she's not called that.
Yeah.
So I've overtired and just upsetting my own household.
Fair enough.
Love it.
I might throw a bit of Forrest in during this. Out of nowhere. Yeah.
I feel like I expect nothing less.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest.
Fair enough. Anyway.
This Halloween episode.
Who do we want to start with? What do we want to do?
Right. So we've got some segments to get going. So I have got scary locations in the UK.
Okay.
Right. I've got three.
Are we going there, or are we just?
I would like to visit them.
I would absolutely love to. This is what we should have done for our Halloween.
One day
episode.
We should visit.
I mean,
them
I'm sure where someone went, oh, let's do something for Halloween.
No,
and then
you know
didn't
what?
Plan.
Right, I know that was actually there were talks of that was that we were going to do that, but
no, not we. You. Let's call it out.
Well, I was going to do that.
Right.
But yeah, we've all been mega busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I done my research.
Are any of them close by?
Well, yeah, Pendle Hill.
Well, she was going to say Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I was going to say.
Of Pennsylvania, so.
Yeah, I'll Google Maps it, a couple of trains. Into the sea.
Okay, so the first one I've got. So basically, I want to know, I know it'll be past the Halloween episode, but I want to know if anybody's actually stayed in a scary location and if they can like get in contact with us, because I'd love to know your experiences, because I'm all for that. No matter what time of year it is, I would love to know.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, haunted places.
I'm not really a big believer, but I know I've been doing like Reiki and stuff recently, and like I say, the last that does that's highly spiritual, and you know, my mum's highly spiritual. Like she reckons she's seen and all sorts.
The older generation, she's so spiritual. My mum and dad are as well.
I used to do spiritualism when I was around about 17, and I experienced stuff that I can't really explain. But I think I'm kind of like that thing, isn't it? It's always like in a dark night. They're never around Tesco either.
Yeah,
that I know of. You know that girl that you know beeps the thing through might just be like, oh God, I've you know been bad in this life. You know what I mean? Like,
this is my hell.
End up dying, and yeah, and I've got to you know scan condoms through for a living. But yeah, so I don't know. That's the thing. You could be walking past ghosts, and you would never know because they're just yeah.
Well, I work in a hospital, and I'm not being funny, but like I feel like
there's a lot of dead people around
there. You would find a lot in hospital, wouldn't you, really?
That's a shit hospital if they're just dead. If they're not walking out, that is a shit hospital.
I mean, we do have a mortuary, I suppose. You're going to find plenty of dead people in a mortuary.
This is actually a really good question, right? Does the ghost stay where they died? Or do they go back to a place that means something to them?
That is a good question. I don't know.
Because this is actually part of one of the one of my locations. So we'll start with Pluckley Village in Kent. Okay, so in 1989, actually, it was entered into the Guinness Book of Records for being the most haunted village in the UK.
Well, that sounds fun.
But that's actually, it's not a category anymore, so obviously it no longer exists. But that's what they were entered for.
Does the village still exist?
The village still exists. It is still known to have at least 12 to 16 ghosts in the village, sightings of the ghosts, and these include a phantom coach and horses has been seen in several locations around the village.
Oh, a very sleepy hole, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I can imagine, like, you can hear the horses wail through the night or something, can't you? The ghost of a gypsy woman who drowned in a stream at the Pinnock.
What was she doing at the stream?
Drowning.
Cleaning their clothes or something.
Hmm.
Not quite sure.
What a weird thing.
Gypsy woman, though, they do live down by the river, don't they?
Do they?
Do they?
I don't know. I thought they lived in the back of a caravan things.
The caravan thing.
I kind of feel like we're going to get lynched. You're fighting them yourselves.
The Red Lady, who was a member of the Derrin family, known to haunt the churchyard of St. Nicholas's Church.
Of course. You can't have a haunted village without a church ghost.
First time I've seen her, right? Cough. And I didn't realise she coughs and dabs at the same time. She's trying to be polite, but she's dabbing away from the microphone. It's making me laugh. Da benga. Sorry.
Anyway, and a hanging body of a schoolmaster.
Well, that sounds fun.
Do you use him as like a pinata? What would come out? Sweets wouldn't come out, would it?
No. Do you know what? This is actually reminding me. I'm gonna bring the nerd back here. And this is reminding me of a scene in Baldur's Gate where there's some.
Oh, we've all seen it. Not.
Where there's like some
dab
hanging bodies, and you've got to open to get the door to open. To the temple, there's these hanging bodies, and you have to hit them like pinatas, make like, blood fall from them.
Oh, that sounds absolutely amazing.
So that's fun. Just reminded me. Anyway,
can you just watch Pornhub for your entertainment?
Right,
you freak.
I'm a nerd.
It's the goth version of Pornhub.
I mean, it's not goth. It's Baldur's Gate. It's basically Dungeons and Dragons, but in video game form. It's fun.
Anyway,
Queen Dabba.
Moving on. I like this story. I like this one the most because I feel like I have some sort of attachment to this because I believe in a past life I was definitely a witch.
I can see that.
Yeah, I feel like I feel it.
I feel like in a current life I'm a witch.
Yeah. I'm a bitch in a current life, but I was a witch in a past life. Anyway, it's called Pendle Hill. This is in Lancaster, York. I didn't know that Lancaster, York was the same thing.
It's not.
Lancaster.
Are they near each other?
Is that not in England?
Lancaster.
Is that in England?
Yeah.
So York and Lancaster were the two counties that were fighting in the War of the Roses. The line runs down the middle.
So they are near each other.
Relatively.
So you know what? This hill must sit in the middle of them then, I'm guessing.
Relatively speaking, probably.
Maybe it's not a hill. Maybe it's where they buried people.
Well, maybe. Basically, in the 17th century, it was a known site for the practicing of witchcraft.
Ooh.
And when the witches were put on trial and obviously killed, the Pendle Hill was said to become the home of the restless spirits of the witches, as well as the villagers that surrounded the area.
I was hearing, what a shit system that was.
What?
With the witches, when they used to trial them, they'd be like, well, if she's a witch, she'll fly away, won't she?
It was...
None of them flew away.
If she's a witch, she'll float, and if she's not a witch, she'll sink.
There was something like that, right?
So basically, either way, she'd die.
Either way, she'd die.
Yeah.
But then they'd kind of go, got another one wrong. Anyway, next.
Exactly.
Like, just, well, it
was, if she was a witch, she would survive. If she wasn't a witch, she would drown when they ducked them in the water. So if she drowned, she wasn't a witch.
Can you imagine back then, everyone was on tender hooks?
Like, oh, yeah.
If you'd done something like the most basic thing that you, like, I've taught you that trick, I would stop, like, hiccuping.
Yeah.
If I'd walked up to them and someone was like, had severe hiccups and they'd been doing it for 20 years, and I went, oh, I can solve that. Just put your fingers in your ears, right? And this is true. It's worked, right? And
it does work. It's weird. Yeah.
And then you gulp water, like, don't, like, you know, obviously drown yourself, right? And then if you do it for about sort of 10 seconds, for some reason the burp sort of happens and then that goes.
And the hiccups just magically stop.
If I'd done that back then,
it's a witch. It's a
they
witch.
They would have just shouted witch.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Literally anything.
End up gulping more water than
was
I need
like
to.
Classed as witches back then, though, wasn't it? Like, like you say, like very simple things where you're accused
seen,
of being a witch.
Things where somebody's been accused of being a witch because their seeds grew and the neighbors didn't in the garden.
Sabotage.
That's it.
Sabotage.
That was literally it. Burned at the stake for that.
She's a witch.
But there were stories of supernatural encounters from people that have spent time up on Pendle Hill, such as some people said that they'd felt that they'd been strangled by invisible hands.
Ooh.
Now, so here's me, right? I would love to just try it just to see if I felt it. Now, as much people will be thinking, nah, I don't want to do that now. That intrigues me.
Pendle Hill sounds like a brilliant dog inside here.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
I knew that's where your mind was going.
I parked up on top of this hill and all of a sudden I was getting strangled and choked. Yeah.
No, seriously though. I don't know why, but it'd be like, that would be enough to put people off, wouldn't it? But I'm like, yeah, I want to try it now.
I'm just going to bring the nerd back in. This also reminds me of another video game setting. In the Elder Scrolls Oblivion, the Shivering Isles DLC, there's a hill that's called the Hill of Souls. And it's just like all of the ghosts from the different villages that just wander around this big hill.
Boring.
Oh, well, I apologise.
It's supposed to be most popular on Halloween night with ghost hunters.
Hmm.
Now, ghost hunters are doggers. But yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Whoever it is that's into getting strangled by ghosts, see?
And my last one is called the Ancient Ram Inn.
The Ram Inn.
No, I knew Andy would like this one.
My eyes are lit up.
Ram Inn.
Raminga. I need to stop doing this.
So this is apparently the most haunted building in England. Known to have been a keeping house for slaves and workers. After many years and several owners and many stories, the place was no longer suitable as a normal bed and breakfast because it had gotten far too dangerous. Only ghost hunters, mediums and people who love paranormal are willing to spend the night there. The owner in 1968, Mr. Humphreys, was said to, whilst renovating the basement, he accidentally stumbled upon a grave with several children's skeletons in, which were probably victims of a ritual sacrifice.
I'd go there.
I'd go there.
No, yeah, I would go there too.
I'm not easily scared.
See, I don't think I am either. I think if I'm with a group of people and I go to a place like this, I think I'd be absolutely fine.
Well, if you went there on your own.
Oh, I wouldn't go. I probably wouldn't go on my own, if I'm honest.
It's like, I think you can talk yourself into like that. There's something there, can't you?
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, exactly. Even if it's not, you don't physically see something, I'm the kind of person that will take a sound and get scared of it and make it
If I stay in a room, right, and I'm sure staying in that room is probably something like £200 a night or something just to do it.
It's actually £25 a night.
Interesting. Now we're talking affordable.
Yeah, no, so now I'm thinking, let's go there.
We are a low-budget pod. We can do this. But if some ghost rocks up in the middle of the night and starts going, I tell you what, right, I want £12.50 off the fucker.
Want £12.50 off the ghost?
Creepiness. If she turns up, right, in the middle of the night, she's paying for that room. We're going Dutch on it.
All right. Yeah. You're sharing my room, we're going halves on it.
Yeah, if you're going to come and haunt my ass, you can pay £12.50.
And then there's that one in York as well, the Golden Fleece with the skeleton on the thing, the skeleton on the bar. You heard of that one?
No.
Apparently somebody stole the skull from the pub. It's hanging above the bar. Well, it was sitting above the bar.
That's a stag do thing, that.
Probably. Apparently somebody stole the skull and it was just chaos until the skull was returned. Just like so many things happening, like glasses being broken, things being thrown across the room and stuff like that.
Okay, right. So have you ever experienced anything?
I haven't, but my mum and dad have told me stories about when they used to live in their old house when they were younger.
Okay.
Before I was born, my sister was a baby. Basically, they used to say obviously stuff like, they'd go out and the TV would be off. They'd come home, the TV would be on. They used to feel something like kind of brush past them when they walked up and down the stairs. My sister used to talk to the lady in the corner of her room. Well, not talk to her, but kind of like...
They always say kids have the door open.
Yeah. She was really young. She was like probably about 2. So I think she was not obviously having full-blown conversations, but she was making this out as if there was like a lady in the corner or something.
Hmm.
And then the one night, this is like what stands out the most, is my dad had went to bed thinking that my mum was in bed and he'd like rolled over and put his arm around her. And then like an hour later or something, my mum then comes upstairs and he's like, where have you been? And she's like, I'm just coming to bed now. And he was like, what?
So I had a similar incident happen to me. I was staying in Scotland and I remember sort of waking up. Once again, it's always in pitch black.
God.
And I looked over, it looked like my girlfriend was sort of like sleepwalking. And I was like, get back to bed, because she told me she might do it, but then never seen it. And then nothing, no response. And then I looked, she was in bed. And then I looked, and this thing was closer.
Oh my God, no.
And then I thought, right, I did the really manly thing and went, well, under the covers and turn over, right? And I just thought, if I'm not looking. And then I felt the bed delve.
Whoa.
Yeah, but then I woke up sort of next day and I thought, I could have been half asleep. It could have been like a dream, picturing it in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like, so even still, like with that, I started talking myself sort of out of it more than into it. But yeah, it was creepy at the time. I remember thinking, oh, that's a bit strange.
No, not with the bed delve. Not with that would have sent me over the edge.
But I mean, she didn't pay for the room either. So to be fair, so
you got two for the price of one there, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, could have had a menage a trois there, but yeah. Yeah. That's probably the closest I've had, really.
I think I would probably have punched the girlfriend to wake her up and then stuck the light on. I think in that situation, I don't think I'd have gone back under the covers, to be honest.
See, this is what we were talking about last episode, though, when we said about, I don't know why it is, but you just feel like under the covers is the safest place to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird, isn't it?
What do you do for Halloween? It's like, you know, when kids are coming, because it's getting bigger in the UK, isn't it? Obviously, America loved it a couple of years ago. So, I remember... coming upstairs, the house was in pitch black, and I thought, I was on the drive, like, where the hell is she? Right. And literally went upstairs, turned the light up in the bedroom, and she was just laid on the bed. She didn't want to deal with the kids at the door. Very antisocial.
I feel that.
Yeah.
We usually do that, to be fair. We usually, for Halloween, it's kind of like a routine for Halloween. My dad will just sit in the corner and play his video games, as usual. Me and my mum generally watch something like Hocus Pocus.
Remembering the last time he was in Halloween and had fun. Then you were born.
Not 65.
I want to think I am. Yeah, we usually sit and watch, we usually watch Hocus Pocus or Beetlejuice, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then if somebody knocks on the door, we usually look at each other like, well, I'm not going to get it. And like, well, I'm not going to get it. Well, I'm not going to get it. Well, I'm not going to get it. Until eventually one of us gives up and goes and gets it. And the kids are usually halfway down the drive and we close the door quietly.
Well, last year I got like a tub of sweets and I don't really decorate the house or anything like that. Like, I've seen some brilliant things on the way here. I don't know where they come from. There's loads of houses got them. like big massive cobwebs with a spider on them. Have you seen them? They look class. But last year I got these like tub of, probably like a tub of celebrations or something. But I opened the window and I turned like sort of the lights off. If some kid was going to come in and like try and get the sweets, I was just going to be like, do you know, like scare them?
Yeah.
Like to the point where, you know, they never want to open a window again. but then nobody came round. So I end up eating the sweets and just getting fat. So yeah, so this year I'm like, what do I do?
See, I want to go to like a proper like American style Halloween party. Like where everyone dresses up and like...
Although, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know Sarah, don't you? Like Sarah, she literally, she plans for Halloween the day after Halloween's ended. Like this is her season. Like she's like, it's my time to shine. Mm-hmm. It's a big event for her. Loves it. Absolutely loves it. But then I hate these people who clearly put no thought in or the want to just generally get dressed up to be a sexy something.
Oh,
as girls, idea. Right? Like, oh, I'm a cheerleader, but there's a bit of blood coming from my mouth. I'm a zombie cheerleader. Oh, my God. There's no imagination in it whatsoever. But yeah. Apart from, guess what? It's Halloween and I'm a slut.
Yes.
Sick of it. I hate Halloween. And I'm going to tell you why I hate Halloween. Right. I might even go around my mum's house and, you know, play this for her. Because every year, mother used to get us a shit mask from a shop that probably cost, what, 50 pence?
No, exactly. Right? Go over this.
Put a black bin bag on us. Yeah. Could we have a pumpkin? No, a turnip. A turnip that we'd carved out ourselves that looked like it had a stroke, right? With a candle in it that probably blew out with the first bit of wind. Yeah, go and use your imagination, son. Off you go. Go and make some coin.
Bin bag costumes were the best, though, weren't they?
No, they weren't.
No, but
they scarred me for life.
It's like, it's one of them things that you look back on, you'll think, oh, I had to do that.
Knew nothing else. Yeah. The worst was, she'd want the bin bag back because she was tight.
Not before any holes in it.
Yeah, because that needs to go in the bin next morning. Yeah. These things cost 12 pence a roll. Like,
I've only been trick or treating once in my life.
Are you joking, Emily? You're fucking deprived of a childhood, you.
I went trick-or-treating with my best friend who dressed as Batman.
Were you Robin?
No, I wasn't Robin. I was Catwoman.
Oh.
And this was when I was about, oh, God, I don't know, 8?
33.
7. 7, 8, something like that. And I was Catwoman and he was Batman. And that was
that's really sad.
The only time I've ever been trick-or-treating. It was kind of like, it was like a black suit that was like, it was more like made of felt. You know, like that horrible like felt-y sort of.
Like a garden shed it have.
not like roof felt. To
you. I know exactly what you mean. I can actually
not roof
feel
felt.
The material. All right.
Yeah, it was made like with felt, yeah, just like a mask and a tail. Yeah. It was a full body suit. Like it was not revealing in the least. I was 7.
I'd hope so.
That was the only time I've ever been out trick-or-treating.
Didn't you say that you had a location in America?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that the Cecil Hotel was not on your list.
Oh, my God. I love the Cecil's.
All the stuff that's happened there.
It's mad, isn't it?
Well, that lady was in the tank.
Yeah. Oh, that's got a list of things, actually, that happened at the Cecil Hotel. And I can
if she costs one more time, all 4 of our listeners are going to have COVID.
Here are just like a small selection of the things that have happened at the Cecil Hotel. So first off, there was Eliza Lamb, which is the one you've just mentioned, where the girl was found in the water tank on the roof. People say that she had like some kind of a mental breakdown.
Because yeah, like videos, footage before her in the lift, wasn't there? Where was she checking something?
There was that.
She was like popping her head out and like looking and then like...
And there was a whole, was she being followed and all this type of stuff.
It's like she was playing, like, with
it was
a game.
A very weird video. This was the last known sighting of her. This very, very weird video of her in the lift. And the doors weren't closing to this lift.
Yeah, because they had, like, I watched the documentary on this and they said something like, the doors of, like they kind of reenacted it. Like, the doors were closed straight away, but for some reason the doors were not closing. They were, like, and, like, maybe that's what she was checking to see why the doors weren't. Like,
maybe
she was checking to see if anyone was out there pushing the buttons or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like...
It stayed open for 1 minute and 30 seconds, which is not normal for the normal lift.
She went in straight away. Did she push a button when she went in? So they should have closed anyway, shouldn't they? But they didn't.
She pushed several buttons. She pushed loads of different floors. Like, she just kept pushing the buttons because it wasn't doing anything. It was just so bizarre. like the footage was just so weird.
Yeah.
And then there was a part where she looks like she's hiding first off. Then she sticks her head out and goes back in and then hides in the corner. And she looks like she's hiding from something, like she's afraid of something. Then she goes back out of the lift again. And then she stood outside and she's sort of like grabbing in the air like this.
She's talking to something as well.
Yeah, yeah. And she looks like she's talking to somebody and she's moving her hands around. And then she starts like reaching in front of her and trying to grab something that isn't there. And then she leaves. And that's the last time anyone ever, ever sees her. And then she's found dead in the water tank.
But then also there was a bit of like a thing about the water tanker, because the lid was so heavy, wasn't it? And apparently it says that she couldn't have possibly pulled that closed when she was inside.
Yeah, it's like a two-person's job, isn't it, in a way?
It's impossible to close it from the inside, and it's impossible to open it from the inside. So how that happened, I don't know. There are some reports that say it was closed, some reports say it was open when she was found, and I don't know, because if the police searched that roof, they would have noticed if that was open, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely you would have...
You'd be like, oh, spot me in there. Why is that
open? Yeah.
How long did it take for the water to start, like, going funny? Because that's how they noticed
it. She was in there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
I'd want a voucher. If I'm staying in that hotel, I'd want a voucher.
I know.
More than I
people that drank the water, though. Because that's what happened, isn't it? They noticed the water was funny when they were, like, brushing their teeth.
The water was coming out, like... dirty brown colour, and it was starting to taste weird, and that's when the janitor went up to check the water tanks and he found her in there. She'd been in there 2 weeks.
Mad.
Could you imagine if you were a guest and you drank that water?
Yeah.
How disgusted would you
be? Did they ever say what she was staying there for?
She was a student and she was staying there travelling, just on like a gap year university.
I'm sorry, but there was obviously stories about Cecil before she'd even stayed there.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. This was 2017 that happened.
Well, so, they just stay there. It's mad that.
As well, there was also obviously the night stalker, Richard Ramirez. Yes. He lived in that hotel in the time where he was doing his murders, which is interesting. He's a bit of a strange obsession of mine, Richard Ramirez. Yes, I'm a bit weird like that. I have a favourite serial killer.
Each to their own.
Yeah, he was staying there at the time that he was committing all of his murders. He was a Satan worshipper, or at least he claimed to be a Satan worshipper. He would draw pentagrams in blood on the walls, things like that. He would break in through the windows of people's houses, and they were following him based on this footprint. So he had some very unique shoes, and the police were using this footprint to track him. And they were saying all these crimes were all linked because they all had the same shoe print outside the windows.
Why was it unique?
It was like limited edition pair of shoes that were only from a certain year or something like that. So they knew it was the same guy at each one. But the media got hold of that and broadcast it, so he got rid of the shoes.
This is the thing, like, why? Like
Piers Morgan. Do you mean?
So he went on to murder 13 people, raped 11 of them, and attempted murder of another 5, and total of 14 burglaries.
Did he have a specific kind of victim?
Nope.
No, so it was just anybody and everyone?
Yep.
The chancer.
Was it just whoever's window was kind of open that he would go in? Because didn't he say something like that was kind of like them welcoming him in or something?
That was Richard Chase.
Oh.
That was Richard Chase who said that. He was the vampire of Sacramento.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. He did the same thing. He just walked into a house. If he could turn the door handle and open it, that was his victim.
That was a welcome. Yeah.
Okay, I like my doll.
No. I'll be freaking checking my doors 10 times tonight before I go to bed now.
Richard Chase was a weird one. He had schizophrenia, and he believed that his blood was turning to dust and he had to drink the blood of other people to be able to replenish it.
Oh.
That was what he did. Yeah. But no, Richard Ramirez used to go in through the windows, and it was kind of random, but it was kind of not random. He was sort of like the middle ground of an organised and disorganised criminal.
Ah, I remember when I was learning about this.
Yeah. So he would choose his victims and the locations very carefully, but he wouldn't tidy up his crime scenes. he would leave them. Like there was, he would rape his victims, leave semen at the scenes. He would just kill them, like slit their throats. There'd be blood everywhere. He, at some point, ate all of the food in the fridge and then just threw it up in the kitchen. Oh. Yeah. And drawing stuff on the walls, pentagrams mostly, in their blood and stuff like that. So he just left his crime scenes an absolute mess. But the way that he chose them and the way that he entered and left was so organized that the police couldn't find him for like years. They arrested him by chance at one point as well, because he was found to be speeding in a car that was then flagged as stolen. And they had him stood in front of the car. They arrested him. They'd gone to call in to see what the registration of the car was registered to. And when the police officer turned back around to go and get him, he was gone. And there was a pentagram drawn on the bonnet of the car. Oh,
for God's sake. So they obviously knew that they knew he was the person.
They knew it was him. But the guy didn't know who he was. He hadn't seen him. The car wasn't registered to him. They had no way of tracking him. The only way they found him was they found he had a dentist in downtown Los Angeles. And so they set up a panic button in the dentist. So if he came in, the nurse had to press the button. And then the first time that that happened, the button didn't work.
Oh, that's
sick. Yeah.
We pressed it for half an hour.
Yeah. But eventually they found him. Yeah. But yeah, he used to live in the Cecil Hotel and he used to come home at like 3 a.m. in the morning after he'd done his murders, covered in blood and just discarded his bloody clothes in the alley behind the hotel and walk up to his room in his pants. So that was fun.
Listen.
Yeah. A total of 96 deaths have been recorded at the hotel from its opening up to 2017. So
surely someone must be thinking something's going on.
I was
going
to say, you would just pull it down, wouldn't you? Because yeah. I'm sure that'd become a shrine. It'd become... You get copycats, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Like people would deliberately want to stay there because they're sick-minded now, wouldn't they? Yeah. Like me.
And I want to stay there with a voucher.
I remember in that documentary about it, when I was watching that one about Eliza Lamb, that they were fighting with people with security and that, because there was loads of people who were trying to get onto the roof to see the water tank and stuff.
Yeah, actually, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of people who were fighting their way to try and get through the security doors and stuff to try and see these murder scenes. It's very weird. Some people get really obsessed with it, don't they?
Yeah.
That sounds like you are.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I wouldn't go there. I'm not at that point.
Where was I before? I was driving and we were passing the Yorkshire Moors. And I thought, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not weird and I wouldn't want to go and like, you know, be creepy and all that. But I thought to myself, like, I thought, like, this is so weird that I'm like very close to, like, obviously, well, obviously I know that the moors are massive, but like, you don't know, you know what I mean? Like,
are you thinking of Saddleworth Moor where Myra Hood and Ian Yeah. Ridden?
Yeah.
Yeah. There where they murdered and buried all the people. Yeah.
There's so many that never found, isn't there?
Yeah, the stuff
here that's so sad.
Not being found. It is very eerie when you drive through that. Like, it's the highest motorway in Britain.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you're driving on, it's very eerie. That's the area where Myra and Ian Brady buried children. Yeah.
But I feel happy.
It's interesting, though.
I tend to stay. This is a woman thing. Like, you as a psycho.
Yeah, I know. Because you know what? That's actually a really good point, though. Because apparently they say that women are more likely to, like, relax to a true crime.
I fell asleep to a true crime story once.
There you go. Andy's shaking his head in absolute disappointment.
Seek help.
I was very tired.
Honestly, I rarely sort of watch these things. I remember watching one. I think it was, like, an Americanized thing. And there was a local guy, one of these, oh, nice guy, pillar of the community and all this type of stuff. Always doing stuff in, like, in the street, having parties, all that type of stuff. And I think, long story cut short, I think he was, like, killing his victims and then making pies and feeding them to the community.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he was called.
The Butcher Baker of Alaska. That'll be that one.
Oh, that was, you need help.
Sorry.
Anyone, bring up a single fact about anybody, she'll probably fucking know the killer.
It's something wrong with you.
No. The Butcher Baker of Alaska, he was interested in one him. Yeah. He used to hunt his victims as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He used to capture them. And then he would strip him naked, release him into the woods, give him like 10-second head start and go after him with a rifle. He was finally caught because one of the women managed to run fast enough to evade him and found a main road.
So she managed to escape?
Yeah. That was how he was caught, because one of his victims found a road.
He regretted releasing them then, didn't he?
Yep. There were 49 people that he killed.
How do you know this? If something starts happening in this area, I'm telling you, I'm shopping you in. You're the first person I'm going to say to the police. You need to check her.
Yeah, you've got no evidence, but just call for her, please.
She was
like, probably help them solve it.
It's like when she was like, oh, no, I wouldn't want to go to the crime scenes and stuff. And then mentioned the buddy Moe's new, like, oh, it's eerie when you go there.
It is eerie, though.
So you've been, like...
I haven't been because of that. I've been because I've been passing through on my way to driving places, like Manchester.
I know, it was when we were going to Manchester.
They're not a fairground, these things, like, do you know what
No,
is that... Wait, is that the Moe's, like, the highest motorway? Is that where that man's got his house in the middle of the road?
Yes.
Yes, I do know what you mean, then.
It goes round.
Yeah, that is where I was on about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That is cray cray. It is, it's eerie as.
It is.
I try not to think about it. I try not to think about like that type of stuff.
But no.
To be fair, you could look at any sort of mountain, any hill and stuff like that. They'll be like from walls and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Go deep down. I'm just gonna point something else out, right? So we've been talking about deaths and weird sort of scenarios going on for around about 20 minutes. I don't know like, the exact time.
Try again.
You have gone from sat up to laying down. You've made yourself right at home on someone else's couch. And the more we talk about death, you're close to going to bed. I will say this one more time. Seek help.
That's so true.
Have you not seen her slipping down further and further?
That's so true. She's just become more and more relaxed as the night went on.
I feel like I need to sort of say, and what made you choose your first victim, Emily?
It's this bloody sofa. It's just, you just sink into it, man.
It's all like a relaxed and lounge here. It's so funny. It's been pawed on that fucking sofa.
We gotta be chilled sometimes, haven't we?
While we're talking, I'm literally going to take a photo of how you're laid currently. Don't you dare move, and we'll put this on the website.
Okay, I'm not going to move.
That is so funny.
Honestly? There you go, fucking casting couch.
Literally just told you I once fell asleep to a crime podcast.
So in a minute you'll hear Emily snoring when we get to the real juicy facts of like murder and blood.
It'd be a serial killer outside now, right? And be looking in going, oh, I've already done this one.
Oh,
she just enjoyed it. Yeah.
Again.
If you'd went on a first date with someone, Andy, and they said that they like to listen to podcasts, like murder podcasts, and they like to watch true crimes and stuff like that, would you want to see them again?
Yeah, in prison.
I don't think I'm that crazy.
Yeah, I'd want to see them on some sort of documentary themselves, yeah. That would freak me out, I think. I did hear something at some point where that someone only listens to these sort of crime things because they like to put themselves in the scenario of the other woman, knowing she wouldn't have got killed. So she likes to compete with the dead woman that she's a better woman.
Wow.
I can't remember what this was off, right? But whoever that was, she's obviously touched. But yeah, crazy. That mind frame for me is like one step.
That's weird.
Kind of seeing how you would handle that situation.
Yeah, I know women sort of like these sort of things. And I think if they find it interesting or they're using it as... I mean, let's be honest, this is probably the same reason I watch shark documentaries in case they've learned something new. Because I don't like sharks, right?
You don't like sharks?
No.
What have you got against sharks?
Their teeth. Like, my granddad made me watch Jaws as a kid, didn't he? So.
Oh, yeah.
So...
We discussed that trauma.
I always watch these things and it's always like, well, if I happen to be in water and, you know, they tell me a new tactic they've learned. Like, so maybe it's the same thing. Like, you're kind of preparing yourselves and keeping yourselves aware.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, the new eye killer's out, you know, the new version. Yeah.
This is probably why I don't trust a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I know where this can lead.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be in the back of your freaking transit van on the way to being killed before you know it.
I thought you were going to say B&Q there for a minute.
Where B&Q? Yeah, for some fucking rope and a shovel.
No, that's obviously when he's not prepared. You should have got that first.
Oh, we'd be like, are you unprepared? You're an unprepared serial killer, are you?
Dear me.
Oh, God. Yeah, I like to listen. I find him interesting. I just find him really interesting. But interesting.
Tell your fucking flippers are gone.
All right. I find it interesting, first of all, for the
swinging the feet around.
She's literally just
like a fucking
giddy
schoolgirl.
And I watched another one. And what he said was, he said it was this.
Didn't you have a scary story or something?
I do. I have a true crime story for you.
So are we wrapping up on this then?
Yeah, we can end on the true crime story if you want.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I've got a ghost story. It's a true crime ghost story. Boys, buckle up. It's fun. Right, and I'm sliding down the sofa again. I'm blaming the sofa, not me.
Right, get yourself adjusted and, you know.
Settle in.
Right. Try and keep your feet still.
I don't know if I can do
that. Well, no, when she's enjoying it, because she'll start fucking sliding down the sofa again.
Yeah. I'm watching them. Go.
So set the scene, right? So, in 1986, in Pepperell, Massachusetts. You see, you're staring at my feet and it's really weird.
Yeah, because this is the weirdest thing.
Okay, so Annie and Jessica Andrews lived in a little suburban house with their father, Brian. Their mother had recently passed away from cancer and Brian was struggling being a single parent. So the eldest of his daughters, Annie, received a phone call from a boy who claimed to be from her school. He told her that he saw her at the football game, asked around some of the other team members, see if he could find her number. He thought she was really cute. I know that sounds weird, but this is 1986. I mean, how else do you get hold of someone's information? You can't Facebook stalk him, can you? But anyway, after a few weeks of talking on and off on the phone with this guy named Danny, she finally agreed to go on a date with him, and he got her address to come and pick her up. So when he arrived, he wasn't the guy she thought he was. He described himself on the phone as this tall, like, blonde, stocky lad from the team. He wasn't. He was skinny, dark-haired, dirty-looking kid. But she was very polite, apparently, and agreed to go on the date with him anyway.
Oh, what a giver.
Because she...
I'd say no.
Yeah. Well, she felt awkward, so she just agreed to go with him anyway. And they went to the local fairground. Went on the date, though. He seemed to take a weird interest in Annie's dead mother, asking how she died, how long it took for her to die, and whether Annie had seen the light fade from her eyes. So, yeah. Annie thought that this guy was pretty creepy and didn't want to talk to him anymore. So she went back home and said she's not going to see him again. So Annie and Jessica were missing their mother. Danny's weird comments had made them think about her more. So they decided that they were going to take a Ouija board, obviously, and try and contact their mother. So they took some of her stuff down to the basement with their Ouija board. Their father, Brian, told them that they were being ridiculous and to stop it and clear up. But soon after their little seance, they started hearing knocking in the walls. And they went on for several weeks. And the girls tried to communicate with the mysterious force in the walls that would respond to them by knocking back. Soon they started to notice that furniture started moving, random items started going missing, and they started to think maybe this mysterious figure haunting their walls wasn't actually their mother. But Brian was convinced the girls were messing with him, and they insisted that they weren't responsible for any of the moving furniture. But one night, the knocking started coming from the basement, so the girls followed the sound down there, if you would.
I don't know why people do that.
I don't want a house with a basement. They went down there anyway, obviously. On the wall of the basement was a message that was written in what they thought was blood. And the message read, "I'm in your room. Come and find me." So the girls were obviously terrified. They ran upstairs to the father, who was furious, thinking that they were the ones that were taking this seance joke a little bit too far. After a week, the knocking started again in Annie's room. So when the girls went into Annie's room to check, there was another message on the wall in what they thought was blood. And it says, "I'm back. Find me if you can." So at this point, the girls ran from the house and waited with the neighbour for Brian to come home. He went into the house, found all the appliances were turned on really loud. TV, radio, blender, everything was switched on. When the girls insisted that they left everything off. He went straight up to Annie's room where the message was, and he saw another one on the mirror that read, "Marry me." And as he approached the mirror, he saw a figure behind him, and it was stood in the corner of the bedroom, wearing his dead wife's wedding dress, with long blonde hair and the face painted with black makeup, carrying a hatchet. He swung around, and the figure that was behind him disappeared. He called the police immediately. And when they showed up, they realised that the blood messages were actually written in ketchup. And the person in the wedding dress must still be in the house, because there's no way that they could have left without any of them seeing, because they were still in the living room. So they went to investigate, and there was a little cupboard in the corner of Annie's room near where this mysterious figure was standing. 17-year-old Danny, who she'd been on a date with, was found hiding with the hatchet and the dress. and a blonde wig, so it had become apparent that he'd been living in the walls of the house for around 3 months, plotting the rape and murder of Annie Andrews, expecting her to be the one to come into the room where he would be stood waiting in the dead mother's dress. He was arrested, later released on bail for $200,000. Right, what 17-year-old has $200,000 to get themselves out of jail? And why would you put someone like that on bail?
That's why they give you such a high bail, because they don't want you out.
Exactly.
Someone's helping them there.
Yeah. So he got out on bail, but he was later arrested, 3 weeks later, in fact, for the rape and murder of Priscilla Gustafson and her two children, William and Abigail, after he was found hiding in their cupboard under the stairs.
No! So he did actually kill someone.
Did actually kill someone and rape them. And they originally had let him out on bail, and he went on to do that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was American, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Why are they always fucking American?
Out of that, Annie, are you okay?
Annie, are you okay? Yes, Annie was okay.
Right.
That was a really good story.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it, to think that like someone could just be like living in your house now.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
I'm going to leave you with this thought before like...
And can you not, please?
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine just laid there tonight and...
Stop. No, I won't go to sleep now. Well, I hate living on my own.
Oh.
This used to be a cupboard as well before they boxed it up.
Did it?
I always... Oh.
Who boxed it up, though?
I don't know.
A bit of personality.
Oh, you know what? Right. I've got a story to lead it on. Sorry, I know that your story is supposed to be the last story, but... Speaking, I don't know if I've told you a story before about Stephen.
A what?
So basically, this house that we're in right now, my house, when I first moved here, Louis was only about 2. Anyway, he used to say that he used to talk about this Stephen all the time. And I was like, who's Stephen? Talking about? And then he used to say, oh, like, the man who lives here. And I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. They used to just ignore it all the time because I thought, no, I don't want to talk about it. So anyway, one night, the photo frame had broke. And I was like, Louis, who's done this? Like, why have you done this? And he's like, I didn't do it. I was like, who did it? He's like, Stephen. And I was like, no, that's enough now. Like, no, you don't lie. You don't do that. No, Stephen. I was like, fuck off. No, go to bed. Bye-bye. Night-night. Anyway, later that night, my letterbox went. I was like, it's so late. Like, why? Who's posting a letter at this time of night? I went to the fucking door. I got the letter. And guess who it was addressed to?
Stephen.
It was addressed to a Stephen.
Oh my God.
My heart sank. And don't get me wrong, it still scares me this day. I messaged Paula next door and I was like, right, I need to know. Did someone who called Stephen used to live in this house? And she's like, I didn't know who the name was before. I was like, I know it's going to sound really daft, but did anyone die in this house? She was like, no, not for as long as I've lived here. I don't know. How weird is that?
That's insane.
Stephen might see you tonight.
Oh, stop. And I actually kind of already got over that, but now I'm probably freaking myself out again now. Oh, Dawn.
If you call him Steve, he's less scary.
Yeah, all right, Steve.
All right, Steve.
Yeah. No.
That's weird. Oh, God. And I got all the way through that story, and I didn't move my feet.
You did. You don't know, but your middle toe was gone.
My middle toe?
Your middle toe. I don't know how you done it.
It was all the nerves in her foot trying to get out.
My middle toe. I can't even move my middle toe on its own. I can move my little toe.
Yeah.
Can't even move my middle toe on its own. I'm trying to do it and I can't do it.
This piggy went to prison. This piggy went to the graveyard.
Well, that was our Halloween episode, guys.
Yeah. Bit of like you say, we can do a few more of these if you want to get into a bit of... I tell you what, would be good.
Doing
a bit of a horror... I consider we just mentioned there we don't watch horror films. Right. We should watch a horror film together. And watch everyone's... My natural thing, even if I'm scared and I do the man thing, I just want to take the piss out of it. If we watch like a bit of a scary movie together,
yeah,
and record it as it's happening, and we can talk about bits, because there'd be like bits like, kind of like Scary Movie got most of its ideas,
yeah,
didn't it? Why would you go down? Like you said that, why would you go down?
Why would you go in bed? Like,
oh my God, you deserve to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all that type of stuff. But yeah, there's an idea for
I think that's
things.
A good idea.
Yeah. Or we can watch Forrest Gump.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Andy's totally hated this night.
I'm just... As a man, I'm just,
deeply concerned for our mentality.
I tell you what, I'll do, like you say, I'll do scary movies considering I don't watch them. And I tell you what, if we find one of those haunted places and we'll record a podcast in it in the middle of the night, I'll sit there and do it.
I'll let someone wrap their hands around my neck.
Wow.
Just joking.
If you've got to stay the night with me, your hands will be around my neck easily, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Forrest Gumping at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm choking.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't do it anymore. Made myself sick.
So funny.
You can do that, can't you? You can stay at like haunted places, like spend the night there. Like, yeah. I know you can spend the night in like Alcatraz and stuff, can't you?
I mean, I'm probably not going to go to Alcatraz.
I'm not going to go to Alcatraz, no. I mean, like...
I'm talking about something like 20 minutes down the road.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, places, like, but, do those, like, overnight.
Yeah, I kind of want to stay there just as a normal night. Like, rather than this whole, you know, because you can get the owners who... I mean, why does it still work there if it's that bad? You wouldn't work there, would you?
Yeah.
Like, it's always like, oh, and the barmaid, she's been there 5 years. She'd be there 5 minutes if she was out there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's still where.
No, I'm happy to stay over something like that.
Be interesting, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't believe it's any.
I think that the dead don't really do anything to hurt anyone. It's the living you've got to watch out for.
Yeah, the living you.
Yeah, I know.
You're the scariest person in this room tonight. And I'm including crazy. Stephen in that, who's in the walls.
Stephen's just sat here chilling.
Yeah. He doesn't even want to come out them walls now.
It's me.
Yeah. He's going to be like, I'll wait for Beetlejuice on the sofa to go.
I'm not crazy. I would say that I am well prepared if I ever got abducted by a serial killer.
Well,
right, challenge accepted. Anyone out there that wants to come and get
Emily? Do not challenge serial killers to try and get me.
Oh, well prepared, are we?
Fuck off.
Emily, am I being funny, but there's lack of the Netflix documentaries at the moment, so I feel like you getting kidnapped would be great.
Wow. Gee, thanks.
The girl that fought back.
Oh, look, we've lost our editor for this show, so it's going to sound a bit tinny.
She won't let that go, will she?
I know. I told her I was going to call her tinny.
Oh, dear God.
Right, guys.
Yeah. Right, it's past Stephen's bedtime, so I think we need to...
We're going to
get going. Going
to call it a night.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Send us in your creepy stories, and see you next time.
Bye. That was weird.